Did you know that that song we just sang, did you know that was written by a man named John Newton, who was a the captain of a slave ship? You think he knew something about being saved by grace? I just love, there's a movie. What's that movie? Is it called Amazing Grace, Cheryl? There's a story of, okay. I'll get back to you on that one. It's a great movie, Amazing Grace. Great movie. Wilberforce, that's his name, right? The guy who was very instrumental in having slavery abolished in England, John Newton is portrayed in that movie, and it's a very good movie. Matthew chapter 28, if you'll turn there, Matthew chapter 28. This passage that we'll be studying this morning is what's come to be known as the Great Commission. Christ's commission to us, his believers, his disciples. We pick it up in verse 16, Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Now, Jesus, this is the resurrected Christ. He has gone to the cross. He has stayed in the tomb for 3 days, and he's raised on Easter morning, and he is now the resurrected Christ, who is spending some time with his disciples before he would ascend. And so he tells them to meet at the mountain. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. They worshiped him. In the Jewish culture, which his disciples were Jewish, in the Jewish culture, it was a sin to worship anyone except God. Did you know that? Hello, I think maybe, perhaps, they saw Jesus as God. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, not to you, but to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son," which, by the way, was Jesus. He was telling them to baptize in my name, as well as the Father, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Come, Holy Spirit, open up the truth of your word. Speak in power and authority. But Father, it doesn't do any good for you to speak unless you move in us. So stir us and change us, convict us, transform us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm continuing the sermon series this morning. Go. Go. And this morning's version is go and make. If you look in your bulletin, you should have a green insert. You should have a green insert. And I'm highlighting each week that we do this series, I'm highlighting the column that it's pertaining to. This is, as I've been saying, this is our dine sheet, which is our the model that we have, the structure that we have within our church. There's nothing magical about this. It just helps us to put some organization to our efforts to serve God. And the first week we talked about going and telling, to be an inviting church. And then last week was nurturing, how we are to be a caring church. And today, that we are to be an equipping church, the far right-hand column. And those are all listed there are many of the different ministries that we have that helps us to be an equipping church and going and making disciples. And at the end of the series, I'm going to have this completed, and I'm going to try to keep these out on our two welcome tables for you to have at any time to see what different committees we have and so forth. But today we will be talking about being an equipping church, a church that goes and makes. Jesus, this commission came from Christ himself to go and make disciples. I want us to talk just a second about that word disciple. What does it mean to be a disciple? A disciple is one, and I kind of looked up the definition here, is one who accepts and assists in spreading the doctrines of another. So we as believers in Jesus Christ, we are disciples of Jesus Christ. We accept the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and we assist in spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. How many of you have seen the movie Fireproof? If you have not seen the movie Fireproof, especially if you're married, I encourage you to see that movie. It is a very good movie, and it's not just for its entertainment value, but also it's the best movie I've seen that speaks truth into marriage, what marriage is all about and what makes it work and what makes it not work. The character in the movie is Kirk Cameron. Many of you, probably some of you wives, you know, my wife's age and a little younger might have had a crush on Kirk Cameron from Growing Pains back when he was, you know, you probably had a poster on the wall or something. Kirk Cameron is a firefighter in this movie, and he and his wife, their marriage is just a mess. And they fight all the time. They're at each other's throat all the time. And his dad is trying to coach Kirk Cameron into being a better husband and in teaching him not just about being a better husband, but about Christ himself. And so Kirk is, like I say, he's just a mess. His marriage is a mess. And we pick this up in this little scene here. Watch this.
Caleb, if I were to ask you why you're so frustrated with Catherine, what would you say?
She's stubborn. She makes everything difficult for me. She's ungrateful. She's constantly griping about something.
Has she thanked you for anything you've done the last 20 days? No!
And you'd think after I wash the car, I change the oil, do the dishes, clean the house, that she would try to show me a little bit of gratitude.
Well, she doesn't. In fact, when I come home, she makes me feel like I'm an enemy. I'm not even welcome in my own home, Dad. That is what really ticks me off.
Dad, for the last 3 weeks, I have bent over backwards for her. I have tried to demonstrate that I still care about this relationship. I bought her flowers, which she threw away. I have taken her insults and her sarcasm, but last night was it. I made dinner for her. I did everything I could to demonstrate that I care about her, to show value for her, and she spat in my face. She does not deserve this, Dad. I am not doing it anymore. How am I supposed to show love to somebody over and over and over who constantly rejects me?
That's a good question.
Dad, that is not what I'm doing.
Isn't it?
No. Dad, that is not what this is about.
Son, you just asked me. How can someone show love over and over again when they're constantly rejected? Caleb, the answer is, you can't love her because you can't give her what you don't have. I couldn't truly love your mother until I understood what love really was. It's not because I get some reward out of it. I've now made a decision to love your mother, whether she deserves it or not. Son, God loves you even though you don't deserve it. Even though you've rejected him, spat in his face. God sent Jesus to die on the cross and take the punishment for your sin because he loves you. The cross was offensive to me until I came to it. But when I did, Jesus Christ changed my life. That's when I truly began to love your mom. Son, I can't settle this for you. This is between you and the Lord. But I love you too much not to tell you the truth. Can't you see that you need him? Can't you see that you need his forgiveness?
If you want to follow along in your handout, the first thing this morning I want us to talk about is that disciples worship Jesus. You know, the million-dollar question that we have to answer is not necessarily are we making disciples, that comes later, but are we disciples? Are we disciples? Disciple-making must always begin with our own relationship with Jesus. We can't go and make disciples unless we are disciples. The passage this morning that we read, that when the disciples saw Jesus, it says that they fell on their knees and they worshiped him. They understood who Christ was, and they understood there was a passage that I'll tell you what, I'm going to get ahead of myself if I go there. I'll come back to it. But in Matthew 7, it says, Jesus says, Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? So in other words, they're saying, look at all this stuff we've done for you. And Jesus says, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Disciple making begins and ends with us knowing Jesus. We cannot make disciples if we are not disciples. Second thing, disciples make more disciples. Christ, it could have ended right there with the 12. And by this time, Judas had already killed himself, and he was out of the picture, and it was just the 11 at the resurrected Christ at this moment on the mountain. But it could have left it there. But the great commission to them is to go and make disciples. And do you think that was it? It's just that those 11 were to go and make disciples, and it's like, okay, they notched their Bible or whatever, had a notch in their Bible. Each one of them made one disciple, and that was the end of it? No, Christ is calling all of his disciples to go and make disciples. Disciples make more disciples. Now, Andrew, one of the disciples, we're going to back up John chapter 1, when Jesus is assembling his disciples, his original 12, he's assembling them, and Andrew had been a disciple of John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist had pointed out to his disciples, when he baptized Jesus, God had told him that when the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove would come and light on the one that and would remain on the one who was my chosen one, the Messiah, my son. And so John saw that happen when Jesus was baptized. So I love this. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." That's what how he responded. When he saw the dove come and land on Jesus and remain there, that was his response. "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Now, at this point in time, Jesus had done no miracles. He had done nothing. He was just Jesus. Okay? But John had pointed out to Andrew and his other disciples that this is the guy. This is the one you've been waiting on. This is the one Scripture has foretold. And so Andrew immediately followed Jesus. He left John the Baptist, because John the Baptist's job was to prepare the way for Jesus. So he left John the Baptist and he went to follow Jesus. Now, we pick it up in John chapter 1, verse 40. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said, which John had said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world," and who had followed Jesus. Listen to this. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus hadn't done anything at this point. He was yet to change the water into wine. He was yet to heal any sickness. He was yet to cast out any demons. He was yet to walk on the water. He was yet to do all of those miraculous things that he was to do. All that Andrew knew was, this is Jesus. This is the Messiah. This is the Christ. And it says the very first thing he did, he ran. And don't you think that Simon was probably one of the closest people in his life? Someone that he was excited to share this good news with Simon. He ran and grabbed Simon. He found, then told him, we have found the Messiah, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Disciples make more disciples. It should ooze out of us, church. It should ooze out of us. If we are a disciple, if we understand the good news of what Christ has done for us, it should ooze out of us, this desire to tell others about that. And I'm going to get bold here and probably, you know, be offensive, but if it's not oozing, then we may not have it. Hello. That's hard to hear, isn't it? Now, that doesn't mean we're on our game every single moment of every single day. It doesn't mean that. But, I mean, if we're not oozing, there's just, man, we got something to tell people. We got something to tell people. We have hope. I say this many times when at funerals, is that we as believers, we have hope that those that don't have Christ don't have. And we should be sharing that. We should be excited about that. Disciples make more disciples. Third thing. Disciples receive power through the Holy Spirit. In other words, we don't have to do it alone. Many times, and I confess to you many times, I try to serve in my own strength. And that's when I get worn out. It's good stuff. We're trying to do good stuff, and we're trying to serve God and do what He would call us to do. But when we're serving in our own strength, when we're serving in the flesh, we get exhausted. We get exhausted. Disciples receive power through the Holy Spirit. Jesus said it in this passage we're looking at today. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He had the power. He had the authority. But He was transferring it to us. He was saying, since you're my disciple, and since you've placed your trust in me, and since I, and he went on to say in other scriptures that He was sending the Holy Spirit that would not just be with us, but would abide in us. We are carrying around the Holy Spirit in us. God Himself lives in us. And Jesus is saying, since all the power and authority has been given to me, and you're mine, then go and make disciples. Because, see, you're serving in my authority. You're serving in my power when you do it. And that's the mistake that we make many times, is serving in our own power and our own authority rather than on the Holy Spirit. Fourth thing, disciples are never alone. We're never alone. In Hebrews 13, it says, God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, and this I just alluded to this, I will ask the Father and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And He's speaking of sending the Holy Spirit. And we know that that took place at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, where Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in us and to empower us. And so He's saying that I'm not sending you, I'm not giving you this task and then abandoning you and leaving you on your own. No, I walk with you. I empower you, and I will never leave you or desert you. Andrew, as I said, was so excited that he had found the Messiah that he ran straight to his brother. And he told him that he had found the Messiah. Now, I want to read a couple of scriptures to you that I think is so relevant as we think through being a disciple. As I said, everything begins with us being disciples. John chapter 1, John the Baptist said this: I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on Him, speaking of Jesus. I would not have known Him except the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Again, Pentecost, that's when it happened. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. Golly, man, let that sink in for just a second. The Son of God loves us. Did you know that? I mean, you know, we think of God and we think of this big God that's this running the world, running the universe, you know, and he's holding all the stars up in the sky and he's named them all and he's spinning the earth on his finger, and it's like that we think of this big, grand God, He loves us. He loves you. That big, grand God that created it all loves us. John testified, "This is the Son of God." The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." It's quite ironic that, and John was alluding back to Scripture when he refers to Jesus as the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. Now listen to this that was written 700 or 800 years prior to Jesus coming to dwell on the earth. Isaiah 53. This is the prophet Isaiah. "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him." So it's our iniquities, it's our transgressions, and it's His peace that He has brought to us. "And by His wounds we are healed." Listen to this now. "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." This morning, I just want to remind us. Jesus said when he instituted this meal, you know, God is a God where remembering is very important. Remembering what He's done for us is very important. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, the best friends that He had in the whole world, these 12 that He had poured His life into, He was molding them for this mission that laid before them, the gospel message. And he stands before these friends, and He knows that one will betray Him. One will deny that He even knows Him. The others will scatter. And yet He sits before them, and it says right before He served the meal, He washed their feet. He got up, and He wrapped a towel around Him, and He became their servant, and He washed their feet. And then He took the bread and He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And they didn't really understand that completely. They didn't understand what He was talking about. But the next day, that they would. They would see a broken body hanging on a cross. And they didn't understand this part either. He said, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant established in my blood." He says, "Oft as you eat and as oft as you drink, do it in remembrance of me." And they didn't really understand. What's this about broken body? What's this about blood? But they understood the next day. We have the benefit, church. We have the benefit of those that have gone before us. We have the benefit of God's Word. We understand this meal when we come and partake of it. And as I've said before, unfortunately for me, I did not respect this meal. I did not understand the significance and how costly this meal was for the first 30 years of my life. But I understand now, and my eyes were opened. This is a costly meal. It cost us the precious body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. And He is providing this meal for us. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He is the Lamb that was led to slaughter for our sake. I want you, if you would, just bow your head for just a minute. We come to this meal not as a perfect people, but as a forgiven people. We come before a merciful God who has provided our healing, our restoration on the cross. So just take a moment and just in your own heart, I want you to confess your sins before a holy God. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. The invitation to this meal comes from Christ. It's not my invitation. It's not our church's invitation. The invitation comes from Christ himself. He has prepared the table for us. And the invitation is to come. I love the passage that Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Isn't that awesome to have a God that we can come to and we can just plop in his lap and he gives us rest? Does anybody besides me need rest? So the invitation comes from God himself, through Christ. And the invitation is, if you love Jesus and you repent of your sins, you are welcome at this table. You do not have to be a member of this church or this denomination. It's an open table. Those who have confessed Christ and who have repented of their sin, you are welcome. If our praise team and our servers and our sound team will come forward, please. Christ our Lord has invited you to his table. If you repent of your sins and you have spoken of the name of Jesus and called on the name of Jesus, you are welcome. There is these two stations here and these two on this end. You'd be given a piece of bread and you can dip it into the juice and partake in that manner. The center section has the individual cups. If you'd rather be served in that manner, you can come to the center aisle. The altar rail is open. Come.
To the cross I look, to the cross I cling. The suffering I dream, of its work I sing. For on it my Savior, both bruised and crushed, showed that God is love, God is just. Lost for words, so lost in love, I'm sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. To the cross I look, to the cross I cling. Suffering I dream, of his work I see. For on it my Savior, both bruised and crushed, showed that God is love, God is just.
What can wash us pure?
blood, nothing but your blood, King Jesus. Your cross testifies in grace, tells of the Father's heart to make the way for us. Now boldly we approach, not by earthly confidence, it's only by your blood. What can wash away our sin? What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Wash us pure as snow, welcomed as the friends of God. Nothing but your blood, nothing but your blood, King Jesus.
Sing King Jesus.
King Jesus. King Jesus.
I feel kind of led, if as we dismiss this morning, if you would like to have us pray over you for anything this morning, I just invite you to come and stay a little bit afterwards, and we will pray for you. And just want to make that invitation to you. If Jesus Christ is not the Lord of your life, I invite you also to come and stay and tell us that. And just this, what a great day to make him Lord of your life and to become his disciple. That's been the greatest thing that's ever happened to me, is the day that I became a disciple of Jesus Christ. He changed everything. He changed everything. If you're struggling this morning, come and make that profession this morning. Accept him as your Lord and Savior. You know, I tell you in Scripture, if you ever see the word therefore, what are you supposed to do? You go back a couple of verses and see what it's there for. And before Jesus told us to go and make disciples, he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And it's okay to do it in your neighborhood and at work and in your family. Go and make disciples, church. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.
What can wash away our sin? What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash us pure as snow? Welcomed as the friends of God. Nothing but your blood, nothing but your blood, King Jesus. King